My lesson today is titled, Better Is One. Better Is One. We're in this series where we are choosing the best. And so we can learn this the easy way, or we can learn it the hard way, but we will learn this lesson. You see, our culture teaches if one is good, then two is better. But two is not always better. And sometimes more can lead to trouble. And by the way, when he says one is better, that doesn't mean in every and all circumstances. But in this particular circumstance, one is better. For example, he goes on in chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10. He says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. And notice verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. And that situation here, then obviously two is better. But in our text today, one is better. One is better. It's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does matter. And so he says in our text, look at it again if you would, better a handful with quietness than both hands, notice, full together with toil and grasping after the wind. What does he mean here? Well, I think it's the idea, you know, two fists. It's the idea of all work and no play makes Joe a dull boy, right? And so you need to have balance in life. We need to work, but we also need rest. And so we need to have a balance of these things. It can't be all work and it can't be all rest, but there's work and there's rest, and that's balance. And that's the thing he's going to drive home today, the need for balance. You see, if you have one hand full, you have another hand free to help. Help somebody else. Right? So if you got one hand full, then you have another hand that is empty and available to help someone who might be in need. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 2. 12. Luke chapter 12. In Luke 12 and verse 15, listen to Jesus here. Luke 12, 15, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. And so Jesus says that man's life is not in abundance. It's not in abundance. Abundance has nothing to do with life or the quality of one's life. Jesus is going to point that out very clearly here in our text. Covetousness, we have to be careful of, because covetousness is a sin, but it's a sin that will literally choke the word right out of your life. That's what Jesus tells us. Remember, all work and no play. In Matthew chapter 13, hold your finger there, Luke, but in Matthew chapter 13, I just want to turn your attention to this verse. Verse 22, listen to what Jesus says here. Luke 13, 22. Now when he had received the seed among the thorns, is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. And so the word of God can be choked out in our lives. And one of the things that will choke it out is covetousness. Covetousness. Can't get enough. We want all that this life has for us and some. And let me remind you what Paul also told Timothy over in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. In 1 Timothy 6:10, Paul says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. He says, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so many people have fallen away in their pursuit of things, in their pursuit of stuff, in their pursuit of materialism, in their pursuit of covetousness. You see, it's better to have what matters than an abundance of what doesn't matter. And so what matters is a good question. And so let's ask the question, what really matters? What matters to you? So if you were to get a list, what would you write on that list? The things that matter to you. Well, God matters. Family matters. The church matters. We could quickly get a list of things that matters, because these things matter. These things are important. In fact, Facebook did a question, and the question was, what really matters? And here's the thing. Not one person put their bank account. Not one person put their possessions. Not one person listed their real estate. Those are not the things that were listed. They were the things that I mentioned a moment ago. God matters. Family matters. The church matters. Those are the things that are important, and those are the things that matters. So what if your doctor came to you and said, you have 30 days to live? That's it. Time's ticking. You have 30 days. How are you going to go on and live those 30 days? Hopefully, you're going to live a one handful life. Because that's what Solomon is encouraging us to do in our text in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 6. He's encouraging us to live one handful lives. That is because we have one handful of work and one handful of rest. We have balance in our life. And this is important, that we have that balance. And so, why should we want to live this one handful life? Why? Because it's better. He says it's better. And if it's better, then we should pursue that. And that's what this whole series has been about. It's about pursuing the best. Why would we pursue anything else other than the best? Why would we even do that? But yet we do. And I hope this series is encouraging you to seek the best, to seek what matters and what is important. And so how can we live this one handful life? Well, turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so the Hebrew writer helps us to live out this one handful life. How do we do this? Well, there are some things that we need to get rid of. There are some things we need to cut back on. There are some things we need to throw out. And there are some things we need to turn off. And if we will do this, we can live a good one handful life. And so number one, we need to cut back on some things. What is it that we need to cut back on? Because, you know, you think of a materialist, that's a guy with both hands full, right? He's got both fists clenched. He has everything. It's full. He's all work. He's no play. It's all business. It's all the pursuit of wealth. It's all, you know, as much as I can get in this life. That's the pursuit of so many people. And we've already seen Jesus says that lifestyle will choke the word out of you. Because as you pursue that and get involved in that, eventually it'll take your spiritual life and it will put its hands around your spiritual life and choke your spiritual life out. That's what will happen. Jesus tells us that's what will happen. And so don't think something else is going to happen, because Jesus tells us what will happen. And Paul told us that many, many have fallen away in the pursuit of stuff. In the pursuit of stuff. So what do we need to cut back on? Well, how about spending? How about spending? Cutting back on spending. That'll help, right? Because then you don't have to worry about a two-handful life. You don't have to worry about working overtime, working a second job, a third job, right? Just one job. If we can control our spending, then we don't have to work three or four jobs. And by cutting back, that's going to help my spiritual life, because I'm going to have time for what matters. I'm not just working and pursuing the things of this life. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passeth away. That's what we're told. And so, cut back on spending. Better is one handful than a mountain of debt. You agree? Better is one handful than a mountain of debt. No doubt about it. So many of us have a mountain of debt, and therefore we're having to work extra so that we can pay bills, so that we can make ends meet. Consequently, our spiritual lives are being strangled. When was the last time someone said to you, how's it going? And you said, rested and plenty of free time. When was the last time you said that? Rested and plenty of free time. Most of the time, you're stressed. It's work. I got this to do and that to do. And we find ourselves stressed out. Solomon's wanting us to get to a place where we're in a good place, where we have balance, where we have work and we have rest. But it's a balance of the two. It's not too much of one or the other. And we feel really good in that place. Solomon's telling us one is better. One fist is better than two. Now the world thinks two, right? The more you got, he who has the most toys wins, or whatever game they're playing out there. Solomon says, no, one. One is enough. And some of us need to cut back on our spending. We spend too much. Some of us need to cut back on our schedules. You know, we've got so much going on that we don't have time for the things that are most important and that really matter in life, which are God and family and the church. And so often, you know, they get the leftover when it comes to our lives. When the Bible teaches, they should get the best. When you look in the Old Testament, you look at the sacrifices that were offered up. God always wanted the first and the best. And He deserves the first and He deserves the best. And when it comes to my schedule, I need to make sure that I have a schedule that doesn't stress me out, that doesn't stress my family out, that I have time to do the things that matter most. If you don't work on your schedule, you're never going to have the time to concentrate on what's really important and what really matters, because all these other things are going to take your time. They're going to chew it up. One is better than two. Now, I just need to convince you of that. One is better than two. Jesus tells us this. The Bible tells us this. Solomon tells us this. But we also need to throw out some things. We need to throw out some things. You take a look. I mean, we Americans, we certainly are the most worldly people on planet Earth. And I don't, it's not even close. We have so much stuff. I mean, all of us have our houses filled. If we have an attic, it's filled. If we have a basement, it's filled. If we have storage sheds, they're filled. Everything's filled. Everything. It's just filled. We just have too much stuff. Too much stuff. We don't have what really matters, though. We may have a lot of stuff, but how's your relationship with God? Who are you talking to about Jesus Christ? Who are you talking to? Who are you sharing the gospel with, which is the most important commodity in the world? It's the gospel. There's nothing more important than the gospel. What's more important than that? People are dead in their trespasses and sins. They are dying lost. And if they die in their sins, they'll be separated from God for eternity. We need to free up our schedules and free up our time so that we can be about the business of God. We need to organize our lives. And there's certainly some things that need to go. You need to take a good look at your life. And then there's some things we need to turn off. Things we need to turn off. For example, the television. That thing runs too much in many homes. Far too much. Listen, we are never going to change the world in front of our television set. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. If we're going to change the world, it's not going to be sitting in the living room watching TV. So some of us need to turn that thing off because it's nothing but a distraction. It's just pumping stuff into our household that we really don't need. I don't know about you, but I struggle enough with sin that I don't need to pump more into my home to struggle with. We need to be very careful. You just think of the time that we spend in front of a television set. Now, I'm thankful that football is just, you know, once a week deal. You know, it's not like baseball where you play every day of the week for 3 hours. I don't have time to watch baseball. Do you? Who's got time for baseball? I mean, it's 3 hours a game minimum. And they play, what, 3-4 times a week? That's a lot of baseball. That's a lot of time. And we spend so much time in front of the television set in our living room, and hours and hours and hours tick by, and the world is dying lost all around us. And we're just sitting there watching television. Now, television isn't wrong. It's not a sin to watch TV, so don't think that's what I'm saying. There's nothing wrong with TV. It's neither good nor bad. It's what you do with it. And again, it's balance. It's having one fistful of TV versus two. It's balance. It's balance. We need to have balance in life. But I think our lives are out of balance. And the same could be said for the computer. Many people spend countless hours in front of a computer just playing, and sometimes just games. And yet, our loved ones are struggling, and people are dying lost, and people need to be prayed for and encouraged, and we're on the computer. Now again, that's not wrong in of itself. It's just that these things can take over our lives and they can consume us and take more time than we should give them. If we want to have a meaningful life, then we certainly need to cut back on some things and throw out some things and turn off some things so that we can engage in the things that matter and the things that are important. We need to fight for what matters. Now, I don't know if y'all hopefully you remember when Donald Trump was almost assassinated in Philadelphia. And you remember that scene, you know, I was watching and I saw him, you know, grab for his ear and went down to the ground, and then he came up and had that blood. But if you remember, he was fight. And that is the way that I picture the Apostle Paul. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The Apostle Paul, when you get to Timothy, especially 2 Timothy, this guy has been battered. I mean, he's been beaten, he's been shipwrecked, he's starved. He was stoned, left for dead. He was scourged numerous times. And in Timothy, 2 Timothy, his final letter, Paul is telling us, fight. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. You see, my life, my God, and my family are too good to waste time on things that don't matter. And that's what I was talking about, those things just a moment ago, whether it's the television or the computer or my iPhone or whatever it might be. There are certain things in my life that are just way more important than others. Better is one handful with a spouse that loves you than two handfuls and a spouse that doesn't love you. Better is one handful knowing your children than two handfuls and not knowing your children. Better is one handful without stress than two handfuls with stress. Better is one handful with a great relationship with God than two handfuls and no relationship with God. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Folks, if we're going to stay faithful and we're going to run this race all the way to the end, it's going to require some fighting. It's going to require that there's some things in my life that I recognize that I need to get rid of. That I'm engaging in a war. That I'm at war against the devil and his angels. And they are seeking to destroy me. And they're seeking to destroy you. And they're seeking to destroy your family. We have to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Brethren, one is better. Just learn to have a little balance in your life. Don't get all stressed out. It's fine to work and have a good work ethic, but on the other side, you need to have a little rest as well. And so there's balance here. And if we can get this balance, our lives will be so much fuller and richer, and we'll be so much better off. This is wisdom from God. One is better. God says so. So let me encourage you this morning. If you're in need of prayer, we would encourage you to come forward and state what it is that you need. We would love to pray with you about anything that's going on in your life. Whatever your struggles are, we would love to pray with you about that. We love you, and we're your family, and we want to help you. And so if you need help, we encourage you to come do that as we stand and sing.